since the last time we spoke, some amazing things have happened.
One characteristic emerged as a significant predictor of success. It was grit.
Okay, we are very much back.
I think this is the longest since the last time we recorded.
It feels like it. I don't know if that's true or not, but it certainly feels like it.
I don't even think I've talked to you probably in like 2 weeks.
No, I talked to you. That also feels like it. I think we talked on a call last week, but it feels like
briefly
3 years ago.
Yeah, we. Great. That's kind of I've mentioned this to some other people, and they're like, "What?" Sometimes I don't talk to Kyle for like a whole week, and then sometimes.
But that's sort of misleading. I mean, on a phone call. You know, it's
but
we're not exchanging communications at all. I'm not saying it wouldn't still be surprising, but it's not. It sounds like we literally don't know what's going on.
I'm going to make a comparison, and this is definitely different, but it kind of, I mean, for comparison's sake, it's kind of like if you didn't talk to your wife or something, or like, and actually it would be more comparable if it's like you had a long distance girlfriend. It's like, we haven't talked on the phone in like 2 weeks, people will be like, "What?" But
that's the same.
But we text all the time, and they're like, "Wait, are you getting catfished? What's happening?"
I'm actually a simulation, Landon. I don't know if I told you, I'm actually a bot. I don't exist. I've replaced I programmed a replacement for myself. So the only time I actually show up is for this podcast. The rest of it's just a simulation.
Well, it's a pretty good one. It's believable. Anyways, since the last time we spoke, some amazing things have happened.
Since the last time we spoke on air, for the record.
In the last 5 years that we had this business, we've gone through some very hard times in the Atlanta sports world. And very depressing. Still depressing.
Forever sadness.
Because you realize tonight it's the Patriots versus the Falcons.
Yes,
Thursday night football.
I was happily not going to tune in for that.
Not going to watch that.
Yeah.
So, anyways. But the Braves won the World Series, which is pretty insane. Actually, that's probably part of the reason we haven't recorded in a while, because we went to a bunch of those games.
That was like three weeks of staying up too late watching baseball games, basically.
Yeah, because every time it was like, podcast? I'm going to watch the World Series.
Yeah, or I'm like, I'm still tired from the past 3 nights of watching games.
I know. So,
they won.
They won. We broke the curse. Atlanta can win. It's, pretty amazing. So
I will insert asterisk MLS Cup 2018. I know everyone thinks it's like a fun pastime to like make soccer irrelevant or something, even though it's extremely popular. But that aside.
Yeah. I mean, I went to both. Assuming you did too.
For the record, we went together to an NLCS game, which was the clinching game, which was awesome. I guess then while we were, we were very nervously looking at tickets for World Series games while we were watching that game, which is like a very dicey
and
a dicey thing to be doing.
Intoxicated, I would say,
enough to think it was a good plan. So, but then we ended up buying tickets to different games, different nights.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm undefeated in the postseason because the two games I went to, they actually won. So, you're welcome.
The thing that was interesting to me, speaking of the MLS stuff, so you went to the MLS championship game a few years ago, and so did I. I went, and one of your buddies gave me a ticket or whatever, but which was like an awesome atmosphere, like literally packed full. But I got to say, the World Series game in Atlanta, at least the one that I went to, was the most insane thing I've ever seen. And they won when you were there. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say. I think part of it, like I was reflecting on it a little bit too, because for people who don't care at all about what we're talking about, if you're still with us, like the Braves didn't win. I guess they could have won the World Series the night you went, Landon, game four.
Yeah.
But, game five. And they did not win, although they hit a grand slam in like the first inning. So it started off pretty well, but it didn't go well. So they won. It's like they won on the road when you're just watching TV, but it's like you went to a game. It's sort of a weird feeling. Like I went to a World Series game, saw them win on Saturday on game four, and then watched a game in Atlanta that looked nuts. That we thought they were going to win. They didn't. And then you're just watching, like you're just sitting at home watching it on TV and they win and you're like, yay. And then you just go to bed. It's kind of,
well,
That's one thing I would say about like the Super Bowl. No, but I'm saying like whether you're at a bar or whatever, it's just it doesn't feel the same, like for better or for worse. Like a series is pretty awesome for different reasons, but the MLS Cup or the Super Bowl, where it's like it's one game, is kind of cool. There's like it's all in on one moment, one event. And if you go there, you see it win or lose, which is kind of cool in a different way. So I think for me, that's sort of weird. Like you win, especially being an Atlanta sports fan. We were at game four. Game four started off not well. It looked pretty bad. It looked pretty bleak. And then ended up hitting back-to-back home runs and winning the game, which was like epic moments. But then the game ends. You're not like elated. You feel elated, but you're not, you're still sort of like walking on eggshells because you're like, well, we got a lot of stuff to do next, especially since we've gone down we've gone up 3-1 on teams before and lost. So
yeah. So you would say the coolest game you went to was the one we went to, which like,
we won a trophy. It's just different to be there for that. Like I was hoping you would have been there for that because it was almost looking like that was going to be the case, but nonetheless, it was awesome.
Yeah. It was an amazing experience to go to all that stuff. And then this stuff just doesn't happen in it. For those of you that don't live in the US, like our city never wins anything ever. It's just, we're like cursed. Well, we were,
but not only doesn't win, but like chokes in glorious fashion. If it's not even like we're just bad, it's like we're really bad, then we have a really good stretch, and it's just like sad. It's hard to watch.
So we broke that. So it feels like we're kind of like, we could kind of do anything now. Like it's sort of over. That's not the, like you can't use that excuse anymore. So that feels better, honestly, than even winning the world. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, that part city, is actually better.
Yeah, the city level thing is huge. And I literally have watched a clip of a game like almost every day just to like get pumped up.
Well, I saw that. I tweeted today. Like I was digging around in Ad Reform today for something. And for those of you that don't know what our company is, our product, it's in the ad tech space. So like one of the first things you do is you basically like load in ad creative. So like you could load in like, you know, image files or video files for ads and stuff like that. Anyways, I was digging around on the platform and like I saw your little test today and you used the video of,
it's like on my desktop.
Like, yeah, home runs from the World Series.
I have like a local video file. Yeah. That I watch on my local machine. It's very old school, but it's awesome. So yeah, I might have dragged it in there a few times.
I watched it. I just like sat there and watched it with our new feature where you can like replay the video. Boom. Anyways. Yeah. So it's been, I don't remember the last time that we did this, but yeah, it's been good with the business and everything. Like one of the things that I think I was like complaining about the last couple times that I was on was that we were like having a lot of problems with collections, like getting, especially some of our big deals or like longer term contracts, getting them to actually pay on time. So I don't know that I have any, well, I got them all to pay, which is awesome, but I don't know that I have any like good advice other than just to like just keep pestering them like and pester every person. Like this one contract, like I should write up like a little like postmortem of like what all took place and how we got to where we are, where we got all the money in a few different installments. But like I hit up everybody, like I feel like I hit up probably at least 15 different people. At least 7 of those people left the company during that time frame.
Which did not inspire confidence, by the way.
I made my way all the way to hitting up like this. This is like a pretty big company. I made my way all the way to hitting up like the CFO personally, which I would never normally do as like a first sort of action or response to this. But like we were starting to get desperate and it was a lot of money. So I like hit up everybody. Anyways, it eventually ended up this like kind of lower level person sort of like took me under her wing and like just made it happen. So yeah,
it's almost like the prospecting, it's like collections prospecting or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How do I dig around through your org and find various people to like bother until someone does something?
Totally.
Or tells me to, you know, give up basically.
So, I mean, that was probably like all the collections that were sort of like outstanding. It was probably like 100K in total. So it was, you know, for a smaller company like us, like that's a pretty big deal. So,
and I think the best part is like, well, the best part is we got the money. The second best part is we had pretty much kind of like mentally prepared for the fact that that may not happen since it took a while. So when it actually came through, it was like a nice, it was like finding a 20 in your pants pocket or whatever. So
yeah. Yeah. So it was good. We got all that stuff in. For any of you that are dealing with that sort of thing, just keep plugging away. I think it probably took a total of at least 3 months, maybe a little bit longer, like four. I don't remember. I don't remember when we started kind of going after it, but at least 3 months, and just like constantly, you know, every week or every other week, just kind of, you know, doing a little research, finding the right people, reaching out, doing a little research, finding the right people, reaching out, following up, just like tons of messages. But in the end, it's, you know, if the deal size is large enough, it's definitely worth it to like spend the time.
I'm assuming a lot of, I mean, if your app is like $19 or
not worth
$59 or something, it's probably not worth it.
Give up after a couple of weeks.
Or like you, that's when you use like an automated, you know, whatever.
Yep. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's been good. We've been growing. We've been shipping different things. So it's been good. Yeah, how do you feel about things?
I'm trying to think. Yeah. It's been
long enough that
we've added multiple people to the team since we last recorded. So on the support side and on the engineering side. So that's awesome. So yeah, but it's like, it feels cool too, because it's like, we're bigger, but we're like, each person we've added, we've kind of like, it feels like it's less work to get them ran. Not that they're all like fully, they've only been here, you know, some of them have only been here for weeks or months, but it feels like we have like every time we do it is a little bit better than the last time. Like in terms of like documentation, onboarding, whatever. So that's cool.
It's interesting. It's interesting. Like for a company like us, who's trying to be profitable, it's kind of interesting trying to like with growth of like the team and the revenue, right? So you're trying to like kind of, I mean, you're growing the team based on needs within the business, but you're also like, you are sort of keeping in mind like, okay, like expenses and stuff like that, because you're thinking about profit it. And I was looking at that a little bit as we've added some of these other folks, and I was kind of looking at last year. And so I noticed, I don't know the final numbers, but it's looking like we'll grow profit this year by like year over year, like 5x profit, which is pretty
I'm in
awesome.
Shock. Yeah, it is weird. I mean, it's like you kind of talk about it somewhat it's implied in the conversations, but it's like you're trying to like, if your only goal was to maximize profits, you would just like, you might just try to like keep what you have and like minimize costs at all, like for everything, right? But then there's like or you're trying to grow to outpace your costs. And that sort of back and forth is interesting for profitable companies. Like how, especially for, you know, we have tons of things we could make, like software products especially can like expand into like almost infinite directions if they continue just doing stuff, time being the main constraint if you have the ability to hire. So it's like, how hard do you want to push this way or that way? How much are you willing to spend to do that? It's an interesting thing. But
well, and most of our, I'd say early on in the company, like when we hired people, it was like very much based on current need. Like, oh, we've hit like pain, you know.
Well, like, it's easy when you're early because it's like,
yeah,
you have way too much stuff to do in like departments that have no people, basically.
Recently, we've done more like, you know, there might be like a little bit of, you're kind of starting to see pain, but you're sort of like, based on our growth, like we've had enough time at this point, you know, we've had 2 years of like consistent, you sort of like know what kind of growth is coming. And it's like, yeah, why don't we just make the hire because we can and like get ahead of it a little bit. And I know we have sort of done that, like especially around maybe roles that are a little bit harder to hire for. Like, so if you find somebody for whatever reason, or somebody's referred to you or intro, like whatever, and you know that role is difficult to hire for, it's like at this point,
that's what
it's like, let's
on the dev side. Like, yeah, and I think that's a great place to be too. Like to be at a place where you have enough like cushion to field the like, oh, this is a referral from someone we know or someone we work with, like we should at least explore it and be in it. We're in a position where we can actually do that, as opposed to just being like, we can't do that right now. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Which brings us to what? I guess talking about like, how do we know what position we're in to spend money? And that's like, you know, financial statements, which has been an interesting, like, I feel like it's an ongoing thing. I think this is one of those topics that like you can't really talk about enough, but actually no one wants to talk about. It's like one of those weird, like, this is not exciting to anyone, but everyone deals with it and does like a very mediocre job mostly.
You probably end up asking somebody at the, it's like, it's every little thing that's like everybody hates doing. They like wait to the last second, but it's like a requirement. So you end up asking tons of people at the last minute what you should do.
Because yeah, and it's kind of like
you have to.
When you see, I feel like I see this a lot in like the maker world on Twitter where people post like screenshots of, you know, some revenue chart or whatever, like humble bragging their growth. And almost the first tweet in every single thread is like, what tool is that? Or it's like the same thing for like bookkeeping and financial statements. It's like when someone talks about something, everyone's like, wait, like as if there's some secret way to just make it all go away because no one wants to deal with it. Like no one likes it. So anyway, but all that being said, we've, I guess with user feed and Adderform, we kind of separated stuff, but some of it, the expenses especially, like we're not always as clear. Like, so it's an interesting, I've heard other people talk about this too, like you're trying to balance like having two of literally everything, the overhead of managing that and like switching contexts and all that stuff when you're still small and like you're running both or more versus like the ease of keeping them separate for like reporting and like collaborating and whatever else. So it's, we didn't do nothing, but we didn't go all in on like separation. So,
well, I think when you first start a business, or at least I think when you first start your first business is what I would say. Cause I think now, like we start a business tomorrow, I would do things a lot different on the financial side. And I think, or at least like the like tracking of all of it and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So when we first started, it was like I could give, like, I just didn't care what we did.
Well, there were no books. I mean, that's part of it.
There were no, well,
the books were like, here's five line items or something. Well, it's like there's nothing.
We don't have any books, but like, if we don't get any books, none of that books even matter. Like if we don't start getting some customers, like none of this stuff, like we don't even need to think about this stuff. So we just didn't think about it. And now we're having to go back and, well, either sort of like fix things or change things, or we look at it and we're like, ooh, we can't really fix that because, well, we could, but it's like a pain in the ass to go back.
I mean, change like your rewriting books. History is tricky.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, oh man, I wish it wasn't.
Don't play this way for the IRS auditors.
Yeah.
We're not rewriting history for the record.
But yeah,
but you're trying to like clean, like, yeah, it's just, I mean, I would say to be clear, like, I think also part of it is like in the early days, we didn't have, it was kind of like Wild West. We just did whatever we did use. We didn't do a terrible thing. Like we did have like an accounting tool and a bank account and stuff. It wasn't like the thing where we were like using our personal checking or whatever. So we didn't do like the worst possible thing, but we didn't have like an actual bookkeeper doing our day-to-day stuff or month-to-month stuff for a while. And then we did have a bookkeeper and then we switched. So like, it's been kind of like an amalgam of things, I guess. But I feel like I try to think about it the same as I was saying with the hiring, where it's like, it's easy to kind of get hung up on like the parts that didn't go well, or you wish were better. But at the same time, it's so much better now even than like a year ago. And especially from like 2-3 years ago. So,
well, I guess we could talk about why it's important. I think it's like, there's sort of like three things. One is taxes. Like you just want to make sure you're doing it the right way, right? Two would be for sort of, you know, figuring out like for hiring need, like if you don't have the right data or things are sort of like weird or difficult to kind of dig into, it makes it harder to like forecast what you can do in the future. Like maybe that's like hiring or whatever. So I think that's one thing. And then of course, like if you end up selling the business, which I think most people will probably sell their software business at some point, like it's not like something you're going to pass down to your kids most likely. So if that's the case, you need to have like, it's really important to have good, like solid books and a number of other things, but like you just have to have that stuff in place or it's going to be really difficult for potential buyers at some point to have to dig through that, and they probably won't want to spend the time, or they'll feel, I don't know, like maybe they would feel like if I was buying some other SaaS product and I just saw like a mess of books, like, and they were telling me, no, this is what it is, like I would definitely have my doubts about the business and probably just be scared off immediately. So I think, you know, it's important to keep all that stuff straight for those three reasons. But also, one, this is like a small tangent point, but one of the things that we weren't doing that we've decided to do, so like we, and I don't know that many people that do this anyways, but we do profit sharing, and we do it with everybody. So like with ourselves, obviously, contractors, like everybody gets it. So what we were doing was we were just giving, like the way that looked in the books is that it was just like normal payment for everybody, right? Well, I don't know if it was for us, but for like the contractors on the team,
it was just like payroll.
Yeah, it was just payroll, which
isn't wrong.
It's not wrong,
but it's not clear, I guess.
Yeah, if you're, again, like if things are separate for some reason, like you probably should just document everything that way, just so you like have it for historical context, just in case, you know, down the road, if you ended up selling the company, or you ended up, you know, there's something to do with taxes or whatever the deal was, like you have that stuff and you can go to that and say, oh, okay, yeah, these were separate payments here. We've got like, and here's the total of those separated payments, yeah, that sort of thing. So
I visualize it like I don't even know what this metaphor is, but it's like a circle. If like your business is just like a circle, and you could like pinch to zoom and like more circles, it subdivides and it subdivides, and it's like an infinite like tree, basically. I think that's it's sort of what I was saying about like at some point you create so many subcategories, or, you know, whether that be like separate accounts for all your SaaS products that you pay for, and separate Stripe accounts, and separate legal entities, and separate bank accounts, or you could have like some of those things shared and some of them not. And as that surface area increases, like there's obviously complexity with that. Even, and you have to weigh, like, that's why in the early days you kind of just try to keep it minimal, and you're like, we have one payroll account because there's just one, and now I know what it is. And then you're like, wait, should we have it for, you know, team-based stuff or profit-based stuff, or, you know, is this our monthly payroll, like ongoing? And there's like 1,000 ways to do it. And the challenge with bookkeeping especially is that it's like, as the years pass, it's kind of like you have to migrate. It's sort of like, it reminds me of code, where it's like, if you're running a SaaS app for years and years, as we have done, you have stuff from 5 years ago that like, if you started today, you might have done it differently, but you don't have the luxury of just like nuking it and starting fresh. You have to like kind of evolve the thing into a new direction. I think it's always easy to look at your thing. It's sort of like why random software developers are like, I'm just going to rewrite the whole app in, you know, hot new language with hot new ideas. And it's like, it's easy to look at your books and be like, we should have done it this way, we should have done it that way. And I think you can also write that stuff down, and if you start again, like do those things. But it's also good to be like, well, I mean, it's a good problem to have, to like be alive long enough to have profit and have books, have like 5 years of books to like deal with, and, you know, have taxes and stuff to look at and consider, instead of just being like, you know, a one and done or something. So I don't know, but yeah, it's like, you could take that to a, like I said, you could almost do it by team, by this way, by that way. And it improves, you're getting something, because you're getting visibility into like, let's say team-based payroll, team-based profit share, or even individual-based, like how low down do you go? But obviously, with each layer you add is more complexity to actually kind of like do the work of the operation. So it would be, I'm sure there's like, we use Wave for accounting, which is, I don't think, it's not the best. It's not the most powerful, but it's like, it's simple and it's decent. I'm sure some of the other tools that have like a bunch of garbage in there probably have better level. I would assume maybe have better levers for this, like subdivision type stuff. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's also hard because it's not your full-time, like not even is it not your full-time job. You pretty much don't want to think about it as like a founder. So it's like, you're trying to do these like bookkeeping calls and check-ins and stuff, but you're trying to basically like do the like minimal amount of work, which is going to mean you're going to miss some stuff because you're not like poking around. And also you don't always know what questions to ask or like what dimensions to consider. So anyway, rant over.
Yeah. I mean, I think last thing I'll say on this really interesting topic is
accounting. Yay. Yeah.
If I were to like from start from day one, I would, or like things I would do different is, yeah, I would have a bookkeeper pretty much from day one, or like day one of like money coming in, basically. I would have been a C corp instead of an LLC. I just would have started that way from day one for many tax later tax advantage, or like you're going to get the tax advantages later potentially, although I would assume there'd be some sort of tax hit like in the short term, but I'd still do that.
Yeah, that's another one where it's like it's hard to weigh those trade-offs, because part of it, it's like you're having to like think 5, 10, 20 years down the road and like play out all these random tree, you know, parts of the decision tree where it's like, is this going to ever happen? And also, what is the stuff I'm dealing with in the meantime that I'm like, oh, now, because I mean, I could see doing the opposite where it's like, why did I do all these crazy things to like maybe help me one day? And now I'm just like limping around with all the weight of this stuff. So I don't know if that's one of them. I feel like too, like Stripe, whatever it's called, Stripe Atlas, like came out like right around when we started, maybe just after, I can't remember, but I know they've come a long way, and there's a lot more of that kind of stuff. So I think it's also just easy now. It's like you click a button or two and you get like a bank account and a C corp and whatever else. So
I just think there's definitely, well, yeah, I was talking to somebody yesterday. They were saying Stripe Atlas is like $300. So like when we started, we would have been like, what? $300? Oh my God. I'm not doing that. But
I want to say it used to be $5. I think maybe it's gotten cheaper. I don't know.
Yeah. Looking back now, I mean, that's like nothing, right? Like that's pretty, well, and, for what you're doing. Like,
but even that, I don't know if they changed this, but it's like it would incorporate in Delaware, which is like very popular here. But then and not a big deal, but now you have like a state income tax return for Delaware. So it's just like another weird, like, ugh, I just have like one more stupid thing I have to sign.
Yeah. You know? It's definitely more annoying in certain ways, and it complicates things with like shares and paying taxes on shares and some of that stuff. But I think it's minimal in comparison to the potential like loss that you would have potentially down the road.
Well, and if you're able to pay, like you said, for example, for stock, if you have, I don't know, one of those platforms that I forget the name of that does all that stuff. Like there's a bunch of solutions where if you're willing to like pony up for the suite of products and or services, then it's sort of like still mostly taken care of. So maybe it's worth it at that point. Cause the worst thing is just to like get sucked down the rabbit hole of like managing that crap. But
yeah, for sure. So transitioning from accounting to some hotter topics that a lot of people seem to be talking about lately. So I've actually been, I guess followed or started like listening to a couple other podcasts that are very specifically about SaaS acquisitions. So meaning like, and kind of like just following in general people that are buying SaaS companies. So it's like kind of like micro PE or like, even less than that, like micro PE. I don't know. It's like not even like, it's not like private
somewhere
equity.
Between, like, yeah, somewhere
solo,
between private
solo
equity
PE.
And like dude bought,
yeah,
$100,000 MRR or $100 MRR product on MicroAcquire.
Yep. Somewhere definitely,
between those two things.
Yeah, it's definitely like one or two guys or girls, you know, like buying, you know, I don't know, 3 to 5 companies. Like that's like their game plan. And they're going out and doing it. And a couple of these podcasts are kind of like, they just talk about the companies that they purchase. They're talking about companies they're looking at, you know, what they're looking at with those companies, why they're doing this, like just that kind of stuff. But it kind of just generally follows the big trend right now, which is like there are just a lot of people that are buying SaaS companies. Like it's pretty nuts. It's almost like it's not quite as trendy as like NFTs, but you know, it's up there. It's no up comment. At least in the SaaS world. But yeah, so I thought it would be cool to talk about, like, because we've talked about this, not on the podcast really, but I am definitely, and like this is Landon talking in case anyone, I know people think we're the same person sometimes, but so I'm not technical, so my perspective is probably a lot different than Kyle's. Kyle is technical, so my perspective is like I think it could be an interesting thing to do, whether that's like, you know, at some point down the road for us, or it could, you know, could be alongside like the companies we're already building. Like, I don't know. I think it could be interesting. because, and of course, this definitely depends on like the situation, like how large this company is, what kind of traction they have, like all, you know, there's a bunch of things there, but being able to get past that initial hump of traction, which, you know, can take a long time for us. It took a while. It would be nice to like have some sort of starting point there and work from that. At least have some customers to like start get like hear feedback from and kind of go from there. And then Kyle, I think you're more of the like you think it's not as appealing as I think, you know, at least like everybody talking about it, you know, they get so hyped up about it and they're like, it's this trendy thing and you're thinking that it's not so appealing. So
I can,
yeah. What, why? Why do you think that?
I mean, I wouldn't say that. I think
no,
I carry
you need
a cold,
to be controversial. Let's do it.
When I open Twitter, I carry a cold bucket of water with me. So that's part of it is like, I'm ready to douse the hype flames because everything is just, it's hard to like parse, you know, reasonable level of excitement from like Twitter hype sometimes, a lot of times. I think it's also kind of, it's not nascent, but it's still, it's not, maybe it's past that point, but it's like, it's still new-ish. It feels like the ability for companies of like literally $0 in revenue, SaaS companies, to somehow find a market of buyers is a relatively new thing. And so it's also that thing where you're like, is this, not a bubble is probably not the right way, but like, I don't know, trying to filter out what's worth looking into and buying and whatever versus just like random snake oil or like thing taking advantage of people, like some random person who wants to have a company has no idea where to start or has like some money they got from some job maybe or whatever inherited. And they're like looking around to do something like that's what I don't like. And obviously as a person who likes to make stuff, I'm obviously, it's more fun for me to make it than to buy it. But as a founder, especially depending on what it is, like it's also a lot of what we do every day is not even like making new stuff. It's usually like gardening the garden that we've already, so buying a garden and gardening it, it's still fun. I think it's different too if you talk about like looking into a business that say like adjacent to yours or expands your, addresses needs within your current market or like an adjacent market versus like just random, not random, purely random, but like others, completely separate stuff. I think it also, because if you're saying to me like, hey, we should get into the business of like software for electric cars, like I have no hands-on experience with that. So like looking at something that's like pre-made would actually be more, as a starting point at least, would be interesting. So
that's more like micro P or like P, like that's seems to be kind of like what they're doing. Like they just, maybe it's not random, but it's like, it seems kind of, I don't know. They're not directly related or like, it's,
well,
not it's, some kind
it's
of like
probably
flywheel
more like
or something.
Investing in real estate, for example, where you're like, I don't really want to like, I don't want to live. I'm never going to live in this house. None of my family is going to rent it from me or anything. I'm just looking at like numbers. It's like a spreadsheet kind of thing. Like I don't really care about what it does, but I'm just looking at like inputs and outputs and I can make decisions and put together a portfolio of companies to like make a return. Whereas for me, it's like, I like the actual like, the gardening, as I say, or like the getting in there and like talking to customers and doing all that stuff. So I think using buying as a shortcut for that is, or a hopeful shortcut is still interesting, but I think it's, I'm always a little nervous about just the amount of hype. And if there's like a frenzy right now, like, are you overpaying or whatever else? So
I think I would be like, if we were to buy something, especially if it was like a separate, you know, it's like not like I've sort of, at least played around with the idea of like buying something that's complementary to us. So it would be like same audience, same kind of target market, so that we're, you know, it's a little bit more of like a flywheel sort of thing. But like if I was thinking of buying something that was different, or let's say like, you know, let's say like Adreform didn't exist, like we're just like, you know, from scratch or like buying something new, I think I would feel a little bit less engaged. You know, I don't know. I wouldn't feel like it's my baby as much. I don't know. Right? Like, do you feel like, especially for you, if like you didn't like build it from day one, the actual
code that's
running it, like I wouldn't feel as, I don't know. It would feel, you know, more like rental property, right? Like something, I just bought it because I'm not using. I'm not living in it. Like this is
well, my I think that goes
property.
To the point too. Is like if you were looking to, let's say, buy a company or a business that you could sort of like not operate, not be in the day to day, then I think you care less about that. But if you're saying like I'm buying a company and I want like a job at the company, or you know, at least the ability to want a job, whether I need to have one or not at the company, like then you don't want to buy like for me, for example, like I wouldn't want to buy like this is like never say never, but like I would probably avoid buying like a Java web app or something. Because I don't want to work on Java. But obviously, if you're not in that level, if you're like a couple layers above where you're just like, well, I'm looking at the money and the customers and all that stuff, and like, this is a good option. And like, maybe I don't need to take a job inside the business. Then maybe you don't care as much. So I think it just depends on where and to your point too, it probably differs if you're like, I want to have a company like you and I starting completely fresh. Maybe you're more interested in buying something small. That's like, you know, you're obviously hopefully doing some sort of due diligence and like, I would look at the code and kind of get a sense like, is this going to be easy to evolve or is this like a pain in the ass or whatever? So I think all those things would change kind of what you would do. But like if there was someone that had a product that was like baby steps in the direction that we're going when we started, I think the challenge would have, I mean, it's just hard to even imagine because the challenge then would be like you're raising money, but at that point you're raising like angel money with like, you know, convertible notes and stuff, which isn't the end of the world, but I feel like even now there's better options or at least more options. So
yeah. Yeah. I think some people just want to, I think the pandemic sort of showed that like with people leaving their jobs and like all these people starting to, you know, wanting to start their own businesses, some of them doing like more like creator type stuff online. And then some people being like, I just want to like start, like, I just want to have like a little SaaS company and like that's my income. I think there's a lot of people that like they don't really care what the thing is or what.
In some cases, they don't even know. It's not even that they don't care. It's like they don't know where to start. And I think that's why, like, if you told me you wanted to do something in an industry I had no idea about, like, it would be at least interesting to start by just seeing what's out there, like, shop for existing stuff just to get a sense of like where do you even start?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the more I think about it, it's like, I think I'd be more interested in doing it as something that was complementary to what we were already doing, that I thought could bring some sort of value to what we were doing, and that what we were doing would bring value to that, you know, similar to like any other acquisition that most companies do or larger companies. But
that's where, like, I think not, I mean, we went through that experience before as well, and it didn't go badly per se, but I feel like on the technical side too, it's like it can be like a weird challenge to try to figure out to what extent you're going to like integrate these things, or are you just buying two separate businesses that have like, you know, a logo change. Depending on how related they are, I don't think that's a huge deal. But I was even thinking about this with like Twitter, who bought Revue, the newsletter company, and it's like right now they have the, like, you can subscribe to people's newsletters on their Twitter profile if they're Revue powered, which is like very native feeling. But if you click the link, it just takes you to like the regular Revue web app, which isn't bad. But like, I liked Revue. I used Revue before that, but it's like you kind of wonder to what extent they're going to actually like go all in on bringing those things into one experience. And does it even matter? But I think that handoff is interesting. Like, obviously in terms of like how you're buying it and financing it, if the people who own it are supposed to stay aboard, or if they're getting paid with, you know, equity or cash or whatever all that is, but then also at the product level.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's, for anyone that's thinking about doing it, in my experience of selling a company and our experience of, we weren't the founders, but, you know, we acquired a company at our previous company. It seems like it's a lot harder than it looks to, like, it's going to be a lot harder than you think it's going to be.
I mean, it's sort of
no
like,
no matter how big the product or company is.
Yeah. I mean, if it's a small product with one person, it's like inherently easier, but it's not easy. Like, going back to your analogy of like households or whatever, you know, talking or texting or whatever, like, it's kind of the same thing. Like, you're moving in, you think about like you're moving out of your house or your apartment or whatever, and you always think you have like a good sense of what you have until you start opening the closets and like getting all the box. You're like, whoa, I have way more, like this is taking way more work than I thought. And bringing, like merging two households, it's kind of like, there's always some junk that you forgot about, or someone, you know, who doesn't want to move, or I don't know, whatever the situation is. And yeah, I think, I guess the micro acquisition market specifically is appealing because I think there's a little less of that, because a lot of it, from my understanding, a lot of it is like, here's some money, give me your thing, and like buy, like at least within 12 months or whatever the handoff looks like. But it's a little cleaner than like acqui-hire thing where you're like trying to merge teams of people and stuff. So
yeah, I mean, I think kind of leads into this next topic, but I mean, I think one of the reasons why it's such a hot space right now is because the larger like tech, like public tech markets are, and well, and private like funding rounds and things like that are just like going bonkers on valuations. Like everything you see is just like ridiculous. And some of the people I keep talking to that are like raising money and stuff, like I keep hearing these stories that I'm just like, what?
No, like, when I hear 20X,
I'm like, what?
Like, I am not an expert. Can I do it? I am far, far from an expert on this stuff. But my, like, just my, I don't know. I get very scared for everyone involved when I'm hearing these seed round numbers and stuff. It's just like, it just feels like, I just hope everyone knows what they're getting, you know, what they're getting and what they're trying to do and is on the same page. Because it, yeah, it's a lot.
I mean, I think, I mean, just like, overall, you were talking about a bubble earlier. I don't know about a bubble, but
no one wants to be the one who calls it a bubble, but it's like, it's hyped up, like whether it will like pop. I mean, a bubble is supposed to pop, so maybe it's not a bubble, but it's like, it will ebb and flow to some extent. And like, it just feels kind of wild right now.
No, but I think everything, like if you look at, so you look at like, yeah, like private funding rounds and the valuations, you look at the, like the IPOs of all these tech companies, you look at like crypto, right? Maybe not right. It's like today, it's pretty bad. But like recently, like the overall trend recently, and like NFTs and like all this stuff, everything is at like the max height that it's ever been, all at once.
I guess meanwhile, it's sort of, it feels to like, me, it feels very speculative, a lot of that stuff. And I don't think that's bad or good. I mean, the micro acquire thing is interesting because it's people taking ownership of things feels better to me, even though some of them are maybe overpaying or have no idea what they're doing, or you know, whatever the case is. But the fact that there's more and more people getting into like selling their own things directly to their audience via podcasts, newsletters, courses, whatever, software, like that is a cool, that is a huge win. Shit, because people are like, and I love paying, I've paid more individual or you know, small operations in the past 2 years than I ever have, because it's become possible to just be like, hey, you know, we have a cool thing, we will charge you $5 a month, will you pay it, or you know, whatever annual thing. It's like, yeah, sure, that's awesome. And like, I feel good sustaining your thing, and I like being like kind of like a member sort of feeling. So yeah,
are you basically explaining the definition of an NFT?
Yeah, that's exactly,
that's basically what it is. You know, today they, I don't know if you saw this, but from what I understand, and I don't understand that much about this stuff, but there's like some group that's like created this NFT to basically raise money to buy one of 13 original copies of the, what was it? My brain's
the Constitution.
Like, Constitution, yes. Yes.
I was trying to give you a second there.
There you go. So they raised like over $45 million. And I don't know what happened today or tonight, but my guess is they probably won the bid. So all those people that are all member, like that pitched in, like basically are now all part owners of that thing.
Yeah. And they're all members of this community. Well, I guess to clarify, the things that I'm members of, I am getting, like, I can't tell people that they're not getting value out of that knowledge, that they're part owners of a digital pointer to a physical good that they'll never touch or see. Like, that's up to them to decide if they put value on that. I also think, like, as a, almost like a marker in the timeline of crypto and distributed finance or whatever, like it's interesting, it's noteworthy from that standpoint. I'm not going to tell people like whether they should or shouldn't do that, but most of the stuff I pay for is like, I pay you money and you give me a, you know, piece of software that I use every day, or you send me an email every week, or a podcast that I can enjoy. So to each his own on that. And I think that is where like NFTs, like it's just another instance for me where it's too easy to, and I mean, I'm guilty of kind of writing it off to some extent, but it's partly because it's just so much of it is just noise. And then like a lot of people loudly saying like, this is just noise. And then the people who are making the noise just get louder and louder. And like, you're losing sight of like the actual path this is going to take and the actual interesting parts of it. So, I mean, it definitely is all that stuff is pretty cool.
It's got to take a different path because it makes, like, to the average person, like, it's so confusing.
Yeah, it's way too complex.
It's hard to understand, but.
And that's where I also get, same thing you were saying about building versus buying or whatever. Like, I just get, it always scares me when it feels like a place that there's, like, a lot of advantage to be taken, you know? Yeah. Like, oh, I understand this thing way more than, like, your average bro, so I'm just gonna, it's sort of like I'm gonna robocall you and tell you to like let me remote desktop into your machine and do bad stuff because you just don't know what I'm doing. You don't understand the technology.
Yep.
But it doesn't mean that those things are bad. It's just like, you know, there's always that.
Well, to finish with a very positive note, I think we're not positive. It feels like I said, I don't think it's a bubble, but it feels like we may be headed, at least in America, for like, I think we're headed for like something that's not good in the next 12 months.
Those are like sage advice. Quite a prediction there.
I mean, you know, when interest rates go up, like, which is going to happen soon, all these things are at all time highs. It just feels like maybe you shouldn't be buying so many, like all these things.
Yeah.
Stocks, I mean, all these things. Like,
I think too, it's like if you think about it as a correction as opposed to a crash, I'm being optimistic.
I don't think it's a crash, but yeah, I think we're going to be in like,
it's like looking at a local maximum and thinking it's like that is the trajectory is not the, like, versus being like, hey, we're kind of like out of our depth here, we should probably like come back down to earth a little bit. And then, but like on the whole, like year over year, or maybe at the decade level or whatever the right sliding window is, like it's going to be fine. Or, you know, just be smart, be not all in risk, but not no risk, and like hopefully save a little bit and you'll be fine.
Sell. Listen to our investment advice. It's so good.
Yes.
I did sell some stuff though. Like I definitely, like I haven't sold in a long time, and I just went ahead and I'm like, you know, I thought about you when I did it. I was like, Kyle's always making fun of me, telling me I didn't actually make all this money. You know what?
I wasn't telling you to sell.
I'm going to actually sell this stuff.
I'm just clarifying that like, it's not, I mean, what is money? This is the crypto bro like response.
Uh-oh, here we go. Rabbit hole.
But for me, if you don't want to go down that rabbit hole, it's like your gains are just paper, right? So sell some and then.
Well, speaking of paper, I think on this podcast, we've talked about like cool things that we've bought recently. So I got a new toy, which I'm not sure of yet, but it's called Terra Cafe, spelled not the way that it should be, but it's a super automatic coffee machine.
What does that mean versus like automatic?
So automatic is like, think automatic is when you put the beans in some like, you know,
container thing
at the top or whatever, it grinds the beans. So that's the automatic part. And then you put like the ground beans, you like, you know, pack it into the little, like, I don't know all these terms.
Yeah. You put it in like the filter basket or whatever, right?
Not the filter, but well, I don't know if that's,
wait, are called. You describing an automatic maker or your maker?
No, automatic.
Okay. This is just a, this
like,
is
basically
your,
like a coffee machine, except for you don't actually, I don't know. Like it's basically, or sorry. It's
you scoop like, the, you scoop the grounds into like the ground coffee into a filter basket and then you like turn it on.
I don't know. I don't think that is what an automatic is. Oh. I think it's like a step further. I'm talking about like an automatic like espresso machine.
It would grind like, it and then you just hit a button.
I thought you pack it into the little like thing just like they do at the nicer espresso machines that like you would get when you go to like a cafe or something.
Well,
like,
I guess
that's what it is at your house. Like that's an automatic.
Okay.
Or maybe it's a semi-automatic.
So the automatic is basically describing we automatically make like put water with beans, but we don't do anything before that automatically.
I don't know. I'm not 100% sure because I don't have a,
I think it's important to define so that we know what super
okay.
implies.
Well, so there's, I think there's automatic, semi-automatic.
Also maybe a good band. Great band.
Yeah, there you go. And then there's Super Automatic, which I didn't know that that existed. But it's basically like if you go to like the airport and you go to one of the lounges or whatever, they typically have like one of those like fancy Starbucks machines that you just push a button of like, I want a cappuccino. And it just spits out.
It's
not great. It's not going to be like what you get at your local coffee shop, but it's like better than like, I don't know, like better than, you know, what's the Nespresso or whatever? Like it's better than that. So, or that's what it's supposed to be. So anyways, I got this.
This is a rave review.
I got this. So I was hyped up about it.
So for the record too, you have, or at least had a Nespresso at some point, right?
I had a Nespresso. It's fine. Like I personally, like I like it, but you have to, you know, you got to like go, you know, froth up some milk. If you want to make a, like, I like cappuccinos. If you want to go make a cappuccino or a latte or something, you need to go like froth the milk and do that stuff separately. And then, you know, pour it in and all that stuff, which isn't that much work, but anyways, so with this machine, like basically you just click, you know, I want a cappuccino, I want a latte, like whatever. It grinds the beans inside of it. It packs it into like a puck. It spits out the espresso, and then it has something connected to this like carafe thing, and it basically like does everything, and you have a cappuccino.
Basically,
but the first couple,
you should be the copywriter for that.
Well, no.
So you just do this, and it basically just does everything, and you have a cup of espresso. So you're welcome.
So the first couple that I did were awful. Like I was like really pissed off because I was like, oh my god, like I wanted it to be good. But I wasn't going to like it just wasn't good. All I tasted was milk. Could barely taste the espresso. But one of the cool things is they have like setting all these different settings for like everything about the coffee itself. So it's like the amount of water that comes through the puck, like the temperature, the amount of beans that are ground and then like packed into the puck, the frothiness, the length of time that the milk like is coming into the cup.
Do they have like presets of these things?
They have presets, and the presets suck.
Like, but I mean, I guess not presets, like templates or something. Like, hey, you like, I don't know. Does it require knowledge, low level knowledge of like, I don't know how much water, what volume of water should go through the thing? Like, I don't know.
The stuff that it comes with is sort of what they recommend, but.
So you just have bad taste. Is that what you're saying?
No, I think I have good taste. Like, I just didn't.
But I was thinking, like, do they have, like, it's almost like a TV. Like, the TV, you can go in, like, brightness, contrast. You can do all that stuff. Or they have, like, sports. And it's, like, some template for all those settings.
Exactly.
Do they have that layer at all or no?
Well, so the cool thing is that they do allow you to change all this stuff. And you can, like, set the settings for each type of, like, for every category of drink. So, like, I went in there and, like, I, you know, you go on YouTube and you watch these other people and they give their opinions and stuff like that. And they're all different from what the presets were.
Yeah.
So like I went in and like I adjusted stuff and I just kept like adjusting. After like a week, I've gotten it to the point where like they're pretty solid. I wouldn't say they're they're definitely not as good as going to like a coffee shop, but they're
this is so good. When you opened this, I thought it was going to be just like,
no, but here's the
no questions asked, best product of all time. But sounds like there's
this is an honest review.
A lot of explaining to do here.
So other cool parts are that it cleans itself constantly. So every time that it turns on, it cleans itself. After you've left it for a while, it just randomly cleans itself. So like, it's kind of scary actually. The first couple times it did it, like I was like, whoa, what's going on? Is that thing broken? And like, I think it scared my daughter. Like it's pretty loud. So freaked her out, but it cleans itself constantly. You can like set it to clean all the different tubes, like the milk frothing type tube and stuff.
So
like
with the milk itself, for example, you have to pour that in like at when you want the drink, I'm assuming, right?
You pour it in a carafe that you can keep in the refrigerator if you want to, or just like, or not. But it
I'm trying to dial in my head. What is the time savings of this thing?
I don't think the time savings are,
especially when you include like watching three and a half hours of YouTube videos to try to understand how to do the settings, for example.
The time savings. Okay, so for a cappuccino, I guess the alternatives are go to a coffee shop. So the time savings are pretty large there.
Well, no, I feel like its competitor is like Nespresso, probably.
Nespresso. Right. It's definitely faster, but it's not like dramatically faster.
Or it's as good, maybe?
I think it's better, but it's not as much better as I thought it would be. Like, I thought it was going to be like dramatically better. It's not. But anyways, one other cool thing that I've never seen with any of this kind of stuff or like physical products, but so they actually give you a trial. So you have 30 days to return it. If I'm like, if I still have this same review in my head and I want to send it back, you have 30 days or it's like the same as our trial, actually. It's like 30 days or up to like, I think it's like 100 coffees or something, whatever comes first. So it tracks the amount of coffees that you, I guess, create or whatever. So it has like a little number there and it like tracks it.
Wait, is it whichever is lower or sooner?
Sooner. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like who's drinking 100 coffees. I guess if it's a household, but.
I mean, we probably do like.
I mean, if you do one a day, but I guess it, if you have two people, then.
Like four maybe a day?
Four a day?
Between me and Tony? Well, like, so.
It's a lot of espresso.
No, four espressos a day. So like a cappuccino, I always do two.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I think that's like normal.
So it.
I think it's like, I think you, two shots of espresso is like, that's what you get for a latte or a cappuccino.
But that counts as two in their thing?
Oh. Yeah.
Jerks. I don't know. So you're going to run out of 100 coffees well before your 30 days is up then. If you have two people drinking. Yeah.
Unless I just like leave now, but I don't know. I'm like right on the edge because it's like.
What is the cost versus the.
So that's the thing. Well, I don't know. That's
because there's like a cost of ownership, right? You don't have to buy those little pod things.
So an espresso machine, like if you get, we have like a fairly nice one and it's, I think it was like, I want to say it was in the 200s.
Yeah. I'm imagining them being like $200 to $300.
Yeah.
And since we don't have the internet, I can't actually find it. So,
so like, let's say it's in the 200s and every, so they have different size pods, but typically like an espresso pod is like 70 something cents per pod. And then I think like the larger coffee pods, I don't know what they call those, but those are like, let's say like 120 or 130 per pod. So you're going through like at least 50 of those pods, like every, I don't know, every 3 weeks, probably. So maybe like 50 a month or something. I don't know. I don't do public math, but that's the...
We'll put together a spreadsheet.
So there's that. Okay. So, and then...
I just looked up. I think the lowest cost in espresso is $159.
Yeah.
But I think you might have one that's like two something, 209 maybe.
I have a little bit more upgraded one. So this machine, super automatic, is $725, I think, which is actually like the cheapest one you can get pretty much because most of them go for like $3,000. So $725, but you get to use your own beans. So I don't know, let's say you use like a bag of beans a month. That's probably like, I mean, if you're getting like good ones that are local, it's probably like what, $15 or something. $15 a month.
Is that an accurate? Do you use a bag of beans for 120 or whatever your?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's too early to tell on that. But I've read that the Nespresso machines are like on an annual basis are more expensive than this would be.
Yeah, I mean it's one of the things if you, especially I mean it's way more expensive up front. I mean that's like three times the cost, right? If not more, at least maybe five times, if not more. But if you're going to use it for a while, and I like the idea of getting my own coffee, like being able to choose and not have to buy these little pod things.
Yeah.
You know,
the pods get old. They're kind of bitter too. Like, I don't know. I'm not.
Well, plus speaking of coffee products, we use Bottomless. We've been using Bottomless for a little over a year, I think. And so that's like, they give you a scale and I might've talked about it on the podcast before. I can't remember, but they ship you a scale and you pay like a monthly subscription fee for like the software. And then you just pay per bags of coffee and they just ship you bags of coffee as you run out based on the scale. So you never run out of coffee. But the coolest part to me is that it's like all small, like, you know, it's a bunch of little roasters and stuff that you can put in a queue or you can just let them pick and they like send you and they're ground within like days. So we get it ground because we're lazy. With like kids and stuff. Like I used to grind it all in the kitchen, but now I don't have to because the coffee comes to me ground, but it's like ground yesterday because it was just roasted, like in real, like almost like just in time roasted and ground coffee.
I'm surprised. You come across to me as someone that would grind their coffee with like some sort of manual grinder.
No, I'm not that. No, I'm not. I've never done that. I did usually grind my own coffee, but since this is actually, this is like fresher. It's like, instead of getting whole bean coffee from the grocery store that's still been on the shelf, this is like, this was roasted 3 days ago, ground yesterday and shipped to you. Like, it's pretty, pretty amazing. So it would pair nicely with your fancy new thing, because it's like, you'll never run out of coffee this way. So
we use Trade. Have you heard of that? It's like a coffee subscription thing.
So I've done a different one, I think, but how does that one work? Is it just like a regular, like, monthly
thing? Yeah, it's like monthly, and they are, I think it's monthly. I hope so. I don't even know. Maybe it's every 2 weeks.
This is why subscriptions are awesome, right?
Exactly.
I don't know. I forgot to cancel it. Whatever.
I don't know. No, we like it because the cool thing is that you get beans from like smaller kind of roasters all over the U.S. So it's not like just, you know, I've had the same roasters from the Atlanta area like a million times. So it's nice to, we usually need like a little bit more. So like, I think it is once a month. So like, we get one of these once a month, but we usually need like another one at some point to supplement. So like, I'll go get, you know, some local one like once a month. And then I have the one coming in from Trade once a month. But yeah, you just give it like your preferences on taste and they recommend stuff. And then you just never touch it again. They just send you stuff, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think we did a different one of that, like Craft Coffee, I think, which was similar. I like the bottomless one because it's like, we don't, weirdly, like our volume can fluctuate. And so it's nice to like, or if you like, let's say have like someone, you have someone over for coffee and like you drink twice as much that day or whatever. Like it's nice that this thing just keeps up with you instead of being like time-based, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, that's the new toy. Jury's still out. I think it's a good machine, but I just don't know if it's, I'm not 100% sold on the like $720 price.
What is the brand? What is it called? What is the brand name?
Terra Cafe, but it's like K-A-F-F-E. Very like Instagram, like a lot of Instagram ads. You know, I mean, that's probably where I saw it, honestly. You know how I am. I'm all about the Instagram buys.
Yeah, that's it's easy. I mean, people make really good ads.
I would say it's like the Tesla.
Oh, get out of here. So it's overvalued. Makers. No, I'm just kidding.
Or like the Van Moof.
It's like makers. Tesla. It's like they make like okay cars and their stock price is too high. So perfect. Well, yeah, I have to check. We'll have to do a, I guess. So taste how long test. Have you had Come it? Over. Two weeks? A week?
Yeah, I think 2 weeks. Yeah, about two
so,
weeks.
So yeah, we'll have to check in when you're as your trial is ending and see.
Come over to Cafe Bennett. We'll get you a.
Well, I don't want. Yeah, cappuccino. I mean, I'd be happy to, but I might put you past your trial limit. So
we're not close. We're good.
Tony Are you doing side by sides with an espresso, or have you gone?
No, we haven't. We should do that. That's a good idea. I actually like.
We can do a bonus episode where I come over and we make competing espressos and judge them in live.
Yeah. I'm going to do that though. I actually was going to give it to somebody or give it to my mom or something, but the Nespresso machine. I got hooked on that. Have you ever been to the Nespresso shop in New York?
I have actually, yes. I don't know why, but yes.
It's awesome. Like you walk over there and they give you like free espresso, like whatever you want, basically, like any of their different flavors. And they have like 1,000 of their machines all over the place. And they're just slinging those things. Anyways, that's where we bought our first Nespresso years ago. We were sold.
That was
heavily.
The brick and mortar IG ad. Basically.
I'm easily sold. I'm very easily sold.
Yeah. The retail experience makes you be like, I want this. I want to be part of this.
Well, they have it in like the glass see-through, like the coffee cup that you can see through or whatever. And it just looks so good when it's going in there. And it's, you see all the crema, I guess. You see all that stuff going on and you're like, wow, that looks really good. That is cool. Wait, it's only like $160.
Well, that's, I think that's where this is like, this is for the true connoisseurs here. It's $725. I mean.
Oh, the Terra Cafe.
Yeah.
Just look at the Instagram post. Like you'll be sold. But yeah, I mean, everywhere I looked, it gets very similar reviews to what I just gave, which is like, it's not as good as going to the coffee shop. So don't compare it to that.
It's like, it's closer to that than Nespresso, but it's way more expensive up front.
Yeah.
But the cost of ownership eventually over lifetime is maybe lower. So,
I mean, it's cool. Like it's a cool machine. It looks good too. Like it's like, you know,
It looks cooler than an espresso. I just pulled it up. It looks cooler.
Yeah, definitely looks cooler. It has some cool features of like lights on it that come on when it's pouring and stuff. Like it's definitely like a good looking like appliance to have in your kitchen. But I don't know if it's...
Can you schedule it to make stuff or no?
I don't know.
I don't know if that's a thing people would do for this kind of drink.
I haven't looked.
Because it doesn't have like... Because I do that with a carafe of coffee, but it's like it's sitting on a hot plate. So I don't know. I don't know how well this would work. Like a pre-made cappuccino that's been sitting out for 20 minutes. Maybe not.
I don't know. But anyway, you and I both recently joined Switchyards, which is like a local kind of like club / co-working thing that's like pretty inexpensive. So what I thought, by the way, I don't know if I told you this, but they used at the original location in Atlanta, they used to do like unlimited any kind of coffee you want, like espresso, cappuccino, latte, like whatever, unlimited for like $50 a month.
I thought it was drip. Fee. I thought it was only drip.
Not at the downtown location. It was like they had a barista.
I knew they had other stuff, but I thought that was all paid.
I don't know. But that's why I was like, well, you know, maybe I'll get rid of this machine if that's the case. I can just go over there every day, like get free, not free, but like, you know, I'm already paying for it basically through the membership. But I went the other day for the first time and, you know, I literally walked up like a dumbass. I just walked up to the coffee shop part and I was like, I'll have a cappuccino.
Put it on my tab.
Like, they were like, sir, we don't do that. We don't do cappuccinos. They don't do like, yeah, they just do drip coffee. Like it's all drip.
But there's a, yeah, interesting. Wait, this was downtown?
No, this was Cabbage Town.
Oh, okay.
So anyways, I guess they don't do that anymore. So
I don't think that's very sustainable for this very inexpensive membership. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so the reason we joined is there's one in our city, Decatur. So it is not open yet. It'll open in January. And I guess has like a slightly different spin. It's like for Focus, the Library of Deep Work or something. So anyway, we'll see.
They changed it a little bit.
Yeah, they added in the coffee too or something, it seemed like.
No. Like they had the coffee before, but they were saying
the cafe
all,
part, right?
You like couldn't talk there, like no talking, like it's like a library or something. And I reached out and I was like, what? What do you mean there's no talk? I thought like the whole point of these things is that you can like kind of, you know, do your work, but also like mingle with people. Like that's like the whole point. And then they're going to like make it so you couldn't do anything.
It's like a new concept, I guess.
And it was going to cost more. Like,
I mean, I was fine with
the
that.
The silence would cost more.
I had no problem.
Of course
problem
you
with
were. Oh, yeah. I'll pay more to like,
I was like,
no
I'll,
one to talk to me.
I'll pay to like have a place that's, because I mean, that's why I go to coffee shops, is like somewhere else that there's like people around, but they're, and like it's a different context, but otherwise I'm just like doing my thing. So,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So we'll have to report back when we actually get in there in January.
Well, you should come to the office first. That'll be the first thing.
I went to the office on Monday.
You did?
Yeah.
Shit.
I go in like at least once a week usually.
What?
Yeah.
I haven't seen you in the...
We have not overlapped.
I haven't gone that much either, but like I usually go at least 2 days a week, sometimes 3 days a week, but I never go more than that.
Yeah, I haven't... I kind of want to, but I haven't yet like get into more of like a scheduled thing going in.
I'm about to start going a lot, just so you know. Because my wife, Tony, is slowly going back to work. She's like doing 2 days a week now. Well, actually, she's doing 2 days a week this week and next week, and then she's going full time. And she still has...
Right in time for Christmas. Perfect.
She still has like a month and a half left on maternity leave, and she's like, nah, dude, I'm going back.
Does she get paid double then?
No.
It's like, I'm doing my job, I get paid for that, and also I get paid for maternity.
I think she got like full like pay anyways, so they just...
Like advanced it her. Kind of thing.
Yeah. Or they just like, they're already paying her full. So it's just like, if she goes back, whether she goes back or not, she's getting paid full. So like,
yeah, but it's like just go back. Money for work you didn't do. I mean, I'm not like that.
I mean, I would have taken, I get it though. Like everybody feels different about this stuff, of course, but she's been home. Our newborn has not been the easiest, a lot harder than our daughter was. Like sleeping wise. And I think, you know, and she's definitely like taken a lot more of the, like the daily, you know,
hence the work. Espresso.
Hence the espresso. So she, yeah, she's, you know,
no,
she's
I'm not saying that.
Done
I'm
with
like,
it.
Yeah.
She just didn't want to, she just,
they should,
go
they should have to pay. It's sort of like unused vacation. Like she should get like,
I think she
advanced cash for that or something.
Oh, she gets it. Like she gets to, she can use it at any time that she wants. So she could be
like, Oh, I see. So she could just do it later. Like the first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But cool. They already have like, it's one of those companies where it's like they have unlimited vacation. So it's like, it's kind of like,
yeah, I've come for
salespeople.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unlimited, but not for salespeople unless you want to not make money.
I think there should be like a minimum vacation requirement if you have unlimited vacation, where it's like unlimited, but like you have to take at least 10 days off or something, because otherwise you won't.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, yeah, so all that to say,
she's back.
She's going to be taking calls, and you got to get the heck out of there. Is that?
Yeah, the office is better. Like she needs it because she's on calls like pretty much all day, Zoom type stuff. So yeah, exactly. Me too. So yeah, she's taking the office kind of back, and we have another space that I could use, but if she's going to be here and we have like a nanny or my mom or somebody to come over and help, then I'm just getting out of here.
I think probably in the new year, I'll probably be a little more deliberate about my schedule. I've just been mostly, I think also because we didn't have an office for a while, it became more normal. So I just go in whenever I'm like kind of over there anyway, or I just need, you know, a change of scenery. But
well, now if we have two basic, like we have the switch yards and we have the office, then we are going to have plenty of places. And the office is close to this new like co-working like thing.
They're all of these things are, including us, are within like a couple square
miles.
A
mile or something. So
I guess it'll be interesting to see if this feels like a replacement for the office or if it's just like this other thing that is an option. Cause I think it'll depend on like the vibe, but
yeah, maybe this is a topic for another time, but I do think it'd be interesting to talk about like the office itself. Cause I think it's one of those things that's like, it's definitely a nice to have. It's not like we don't need it.
I think, yeah, we probably talked about it on here when we were deliberating about it. Yeah, that's definitely a good, I know we're like rambling on, making up for 2 months off, but we should probably cover that too.
Yeah, at some point. So are we definitely going to do next week? Are we going to like actually do an episode?
It's Thanksgiving.
I feel like we should.
So probably not. But we should do it the week after.
Sorry, people.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll do at least let's do, this is like trying to dial into some attainable goal.
No, this will be perfect.
We will do at least one more episode before 2022. How about that?
This episode will launch during Thanksgiving. So it'll give people like
something to listen to when you're sick of your family.
Exactly.
If you're listening to this right now, how full are you? Probably really full.
Yeah. Are you tired of hearing your crazy dad or uncle talk about Donald Trump? Well,
yeah. Perfect. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Tell me you need to go outside and take a walk and just, you know.
Just go on MicroAcquire and buy a company if you're bored.
Exactly. Cool. Well, I think that's probably all we have to talk about.
Sweet. All right. Well, until next time, hopefully in the next week or two.
All right. Peace.
See you.